Good morning, Thomas.
How you doing?
I'm doing very well. Good to see you.
You had a good week?
I did. I took my wife to the coast, and we had fish and chips in Crescent City, and we watched 200 or 300, 400 sea lions crawl all over the place. It was really beautiful. Haven't been over 2 years since I brought her down to that restaurant. I have one announcement to remind everybody of the Spring Break Youth Retreat coming up. That's on March 25 through 28. If you can't afford to go, Wanda will sponsor you. Got a call from Marge. Last night, Margie, she lives up the street from me on Lakeshore as well. She came here once and still having a rough time dealing with the death of her husband. But she asked for prayer because she's showing her house tomorrow. It's up for sale. And so we're going to begin with prayer. Lord, as we sit here and listen to you deliver your word through the Holy Spirit today, we ask that you be with Marge, who cannot be with us today, and that you would guide and direct a buyer that is perfect for her place, and that be it your will that she should relocate to Grants Pass, then we pray it be so. And we thank you for the word you're going to deliver, and we thank you so much for the blessing that you bestowed upon us by the people that came this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we've been in the book of John, Gospel of John. You know, it's been 30 weeks that we've been going through John. 30 weeks. There's not 30 chapters in John. But it's been 30 weeks, and if you've been counting, there's only 4 chapters left. And because the chapters that are remaining are very pertinent to death and resurrection of Jesus, I'm going to stall a little bit and not go into chapter 18. If everyone's turning to chapter 18, I'm not going to go there today. And because we've been talking about love, joy, and the Holy Spirit, I think I'm going to hover over the Holy Spirit a little bit longer. Some of the worship music this morning, we're talking, and you could feel Him, His presence there. And He's so much of an important part of our life as a Christian, is that we can't just skate over Him. I mean, He is our GPS navigator on this earth. And I've recently become dependent on my little GPS that's on my... I've never had one before. And I bought one 6 months ago, or 8 months ago, or a year ago. And because I have to go to a lot of meetings in areas in Medford that I know not where they are, I get used to it. So let's get used to the Holy Spirit GPSing us. Air pilots... And any sailors here? No sailors. Wow. They rely on being on course, do they not? Because if you're just a little bit off when you start out, you're going to miss the whole island of Hawaii. Whether you're flying or on a boat, you're going to miss it. Yeah, Hawaii. Where's our destination? It's heaven. We don't want to be off a degree and miss it. And heaven's big. In fact, I like what you said, because it's here. Believe it or not, when Christ came to earth, He brought it with us. It's here. You can have it now. Anyway, our guide is the Holy Spirit. But you've got to be careful, because the road is narrow. Yeah. And the road is hard to stay on. And there's a lot of side roads that look very delicious and beautiful and tempting, but they lead to destruction. So we need to have this Holy Spirit guide us. And what does Paul say in Galatians? I didn't mean for you to try to answer, but you can try. It says, walk in the Spirit and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit. And that's where we're going today. The message is titled, The Spirit-Filled Life. Because you can have it here. It is here. It's right here. And we're going to go over this. And the stages in life. We have stages in our life. We start as babies. I don't know anyone here that was born half grown or full grown. We all started as little babies. And we begin by crawling. And then you start to walk. And then slowly we progress into a child. And we become aware of our surroundings. Oh, wow. It's like Joanna was saying. Oh, those are colored flowers. I've never seen that before. You become aware of some of your surroundings. And then adolescence takes over. And then adulthood. And as an adult, we start feeling all the ups and downs of life. Such a joy. Sometimes you wish you were still a child. Spiritual growth is much the same. Baby Christians, crawling. And then adolescent Christians. And then, finally, adult Christians. But the stage of Christianity that you are at does not always correspond with your human development. You can be an adult, and you can be a baby Christian. So anybody know where we're going? We're going to go into the Spirit-filled life. So let's go to the book of Joshua, Old Testament. The Israelites. Picture this now in your mind. Here's the Israelites. How many? What is it? 1, 2, 3 million of them that come out of Egypt and wandered through the desert? They're right there camped on the east side of the Jordan River. They've been wandering in the wilderness for 40 years until all the generations that were 20 and older died because they did not believe God. God said, I'm going to bring you into the land. And they said, there's giants there. We can't do it. And so he said, okay, I will not bring you into the land. And they all died in the wilderness. And now the new generation's there. Moses, their leader, their liaison between them and God, the one that brought them right through the wilderness, right to the edge of the promised land, they could look across the river and see it. He's dead. Their leader is dead. He can't bring them into the promised land. He can bring them no further. Where are you with your walk with Christ? Do you have any doubt that God can do what he said he can do? This world that we live in is the wilderness. That's our wilderness that we're wandering in. And unless we believe what God says, unless we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, we're going to wander in this wilderness until we're all consumed up. Joshua, first three verses. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, just in case Joshua didn't believe it, he says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am given to them, the children of Israel. Now look at verse 3, and don't forget it. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. Every place that the sole of the foot of Joshua walked, he has given to the Israelites as an inheritance. These Israelites on the shore of the Jordan River were baby Christians. And some of them were 40, 50 years old. They were baptized when they went through the Red Sea, baptized by water. They were nourished spiritually with the manna from heaven every day. In fact, they even drank living water coming out of the rock, which was Christ. But they hadn't grown up yet. The same scenario applies to us. We're led out of Egypt when we come to become Christians. Egypt, speaking of the world, we're led out of the world. We're given the law. We can't obey it. None of us. And we go to a Bible study once in a while and go to church, and we're fed some spiritual food, manna. But like the Israelites, we're on the edge of that promised land. The Spirit-filled life is right over there across the river. Do you know how big that river was in that day? Yes, ma'am. You beat Thomas to it. It was harvest time. And the Jordan River always flooded. And they say it could have been a mile wide at that time. Flood stages. And we're standing right in front of that river. And we're saying, who's going to lead us into the land? How are we going to get there? We're going to get there the same way the Israelites got there. Look at verse 2 again. God said to Joshua, he's talking to Joshua here, and he says, Joshua, rise up. Moses is dead. Now he points his finger at Joshua. You cross over the River Jordan and all the people with you into the land I've given you. In Numbers, Joshua's name was originally Hoshea. And Hoshea means salvation. Joshua was firstborn of his family. He would have died in Egypt if his family didn't believe God and put the blood on the doorposts and lintels. He would have been one of those firstborn dead. But his family believed God. Joshua believed God. Moses believed God. And Moses changes his name. He says, you're no longer Hoshea. From now on, you're Joshua. And Joshua means Jehovah is salvation, whereas Hoshea means salvation. So he changes his name to reflect who really is our salvation. So Joshua is going to lead the people into the promised land, into the Spirit-filled life. It's Jesus who's going to lead us into the promised land, the Spirit-filled life. I notice that God says to Joshua, I have given you the land. Now, they hadn't crossed the river yet. But he said, I've given you the land. It's yours. That's true today for us. How much of God do you want? He's given as much of himself as you'll take. No limit. You just step out in faith and embrace him. He's yours. In fact, in Matthew, we're promised the power of the Holy Spirit. Matthew 7:11. We can't just sit back and wait for it, though. I think it was last week or week before, I spoke about Moses on the deck of Noah's Ark. Not Moses, Noah on the deck of the Ark. And the doves circling above him. And Noah didn't sit back and wait for the dove to land. He reached out, grabbed a hold of the dove, and brought it into himself, signifying the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit of God right now today, he is hovering over this chapel. And he's looking for a person, or he's looking for a congregation to land on, to empower. And it's not going to happen sitting back passively. He's looking for someone who's going to respond, who's going to see that opportunity and is going to extend their hand with their heart in it and pull the Spirit back into himself. And what he's saying to Joshua, he's saying to us today, and he's saying, the land's all yours. As far as the eye can see, it's up to you. Just go as far as you want with him. But not everybody wanted all that God wanted to give them. There were three or two and a half tribes that didn't want the land. They didn't want to go in the promised land. They didn't want to walk in the Spirit of the Lord with the Spirit-filled life. Reuben, Gad, half the tribe of Manasseh, they said, we don't want to go into the promised land, Moses. We like it here. Here on the east side of the Jordan River. Are you satisfied where you are? Are you satisfied on the east side of the Jordan? Or do you want to go there into the promised land with the milk and the honey and the Spirit-filled life? These two and a half tribes, they thought they knew what they wanted. The land is good here. It's good for cattle, and we're cattle people. You know, if you if you remember most of the scripture written about that area, they thought it was a nice, safe place to live. It turned out not to be so good, did it? Because that is the place of the Gadarenes, where Jesus went over. And when he got there, they were raising pigs, and they were possessed with demons. And when he tried to minister to them, they threw him out. They rejected him. Not a good place to be. Sometimes we think we know what we want. I thought I knew what I wanted when I was 25. Didn't work out that way. Didn't work out that way. Sometimes we think I'm happy. I'm comfortable where I am. I know what I'm doing. And then I read God's word. And I don't know what's ahead, but he does. And he knows everything that's ahead. And he says, go ahead, stay there for a while. Raise up some pigs. Now, it wasn't against the law to raise pigs. I couldn't find that. You could raise pigs. But Father knows best. Our Father. When I read the word, I read it twofold. I see it as events that happened a couple thousand years ago, maybe a little longer now. I also see it that God is talking to me today in His Word. It's written in the presence. In verse 7, God tells Joshua, and He's talking to us there too, be strong. Be very courageous, He says. And we can only be strong by His Spirit, not by our might. Okay, how strong we are physically, it will not work. We have to be strong in the Lord, not in our own might. You remember when Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist in the Jordan, same river? It says the Holy Spirit came upon him like a dove. That empowered Jesus to do the miracles and do the works that He did. When I was a baby Christian, I used to think, of course He can do miracles. He's God. And it wasn't until I really understood Philippians chapter 2. And Philippians chapter 2 says that Jesus took all that power, all that glory, all that godliness, and He laid it aside when He came to earth in a human body. And the only... Laura, you want to help him before he falls? Oh, okay. That's all right. He laid all that aside. And when the Holy Spirit came upon him, he was able to do these miracles. The same Holy Spirit that will come upon you, that will empower you to do the works of God. God says, I've already given you the land. It's just a matter of how much do you want. Jesus says, I've come that you might have life and life more abundantly. Not just living. Really living. If we read God's Word as if it was written to each one of us personally, we will see amazing things happen. Miracles. You will see miracles happen. Joshua verse 5. God says to Joshua, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Is that awesome? Now, sometimes we have to wait a little bit. But nobody can stand against you if you stand for God. And I just heard Joanna's testimony. None of those adversaries could stand against God. It's exciting. We can be a Joshua. Some of us might be Joshuas right now. If you live close to God, and if we live in the Spirit, then He will work through us. Just like the Israelites on the edge of the Jordan River. Spirit-filled life, straight ahead. So how do we get there? What's the next step? Verse 10. Joshua 1, verse 10. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the camp. Command the people, saying, prepare provisions for yourself. For within 3 days, you will cross over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God has given you to possess. The key word is prepare. They had to prepare themselves. We have to prepare this temple to receive the Holy Spirit. He wants to come into it, but he doesn't want to come into a dirty one. So I have to prepare the temple. And anything that's in there that doesn't belong, I got to get rid of it. I don't care if it's television shows. I don't care if it's internet. I don't care if it's magazines. Got to get rid of it. I don't care if it's thoughts I'm thinking. Paul says, keep captive your thoughts. That means control them. They're going to come. But you have to pray to the Lord Jesus to take control of your mind and get rid of those. Joshua, in verse 5 of chapter 3, told the people next, sanctify yourself. Now, sanctify is kodosh in Hebrew. I know you know that. And it means prepare or set apart. And all along through Scripture, God says His people, they're set apart. You're not to be like everybody else. So we have to set ourselves apart from this world. We have to be so different that when someone looks at you, they kind of say, all right, I want what you have. How do I get there? That opens the door, and you can witness to them. You can tell them why you're so happy going through all your trials and your tribulations. How can you smile and laugh? Well, I got the Lord Jesus in my heart. Yeah, the door's open. And what's the next step? Faith. Step out in faith. Joshua chapter 3. We're going to jump over a couple chapters here to chapter 3. And we're going to go down to verse 14. Yeah, somewhere 14. 12, next page, 14. And it says, so it was when the people set out from their camp to cross over the Jordan with the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people. And as those who bore the Ark came to the Jordan, picture this now, the feet of the priests who were carrying the Ark dipped in the edge of the water, and they tell us a little information here, for the Jordan overflowed its banks during the whole time of harvest, so it is a huge raging river right now, that the waters that came down from upstream stood still. And verse 16, and rose in a heap very far away at Adam, the city that is beside Zaratan. And I have no idea where Zaratan is. I couldn't find it. I tried to find it. So the waters that went down, this is going south now from where the Israelites were, into the Sea of Arabah, the Salt Sea, it failed. And they were cut off. And the people crossed opposite Jericho. And 17 tells us, the priests who bore the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground, in the midst of the Jordan, and all Israel crossed over on dry ground. The Jordan River is in front of you right now. It's a ripping, raging river right now. It's in front of you. Don't wait for the Lord to stop the river before you step into it. You have to take the step of faith. You have to step in the waters, and as soon as your foot hits the water, the Lord will stop it. And you'll cross over on dry ground in the promised land. No, you can't swim it. And you go forward into the Spirit-filled life. But you have to make the first step. You have to make the first move. You have to reach out for the dove that's circling over your head. And you have to draw him into yourself. You have to pray for that gift of the Holy Spirit from the Father. Now, will life be smooth sailing from now on? Will everyone love you and you'll have no more problems? Of course not. Don't bet on that at all. In fact, you're probably going to be attacked from every side more than ever. The Israelites were. When they went into the promised land and they began to live in the spirit-filled life, did they have it easy? No, they had many, many enemies to conquer, to overcome. Look at the Battle of Jericho right away, as soon as they get in there. Jericho. We all have a Jericho. High walls. Fortified cities. Gates that you can't get through. Intimidating. Overwhelming. Unattainable. I can't do it, Lord. But there was one person that was in that impregnable city that feared the Lord. A harlot named Rahab. She came to know God. She was in the world, but not of the world anymore. That's what we are. And look what she told the spies. I'm going to back up to chapter 2 here. And she says to the men, I know that the Lord has given you the land. It's a pretty amazing statement coming from, say, a pagan harlot, isn't it? I know the Lord's given you the land. The terror of you has fallen on us. And all the inhabitants of the land are faint-hearted because of you. We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea when you came out of Egypt. And what you did to the kings of the Amorites who were on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts melted. And neither was there any more courage in anyone because of you. For the Lord your God, he is the God in heaven above and on earth beneath. This was a confession of faith by Rahab. This was her trip to the foot of the cross and accepting the Lord. That's a trip we all make on our way to salvation. She confessed her faith and she believed in God. And what happened? She and everybody in her house was saved. The Israelites, remember that? When they put the blood on the doorposts and the lentils, everybody in that house was saved that night. Noah, in the ark with his family and those animals, everybody was saved. Lot and his house, everybody was saved. See a pattern here? The Philippian jailer, when he accepted Christ, him and his whole family eventually was saved. It shows you when the head of the household believes in Christ, then all the rest follow. A little faith goes a long, long, long way. The what? Yeah. As we walk in the spirit-filled life, we're going to face cities like Jericho. You got a couple in front of you. You got a huge one in front of you. situations with high walls and strong gates and bars, and we can't get through. But the one that led Joshua at Jericho is the one that goes before us. And we know who that is. We're going to read about who that was. In chapter 5, verse 13. When Joshua was by Jericho, he lifted up his eyes and he looked, and behold, a man stood opposite him with a sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said, "Are you for us or for our adversaries?" So he said, "No. But the commander of the army of the Lord I have now come." And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshipped and said to him, "What does my Lord say to his servant?" The commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, "Take your sandals off your feet. The place you stand is holy." And Joshua did so. Joshua recognized who was standing in front of him. He came to Joshua as a soldier, said he had a sword drawn. On the plains of Mamre, the Lord appeared to Abraham. He appeared as a traveler, just traveling through, because Abraham was a pilgrim and never settled in a house or a city or a town. We have to keep our eyes open, for when the Lord appears to us, because he's going to appear to us through the circumstances we're going through, or through some of the people around us, just like he did to Abraham and Joshua. That's the spirit-filled life. Once you cross over that Jordan and you're filled with the Spirit, your life's not the same anymore. You can still commit sin, yes. But now it bothers you a whole lot more. The Spirit convicts you. And what happens when you sin? While the Spirit's within, it not only affects you, but it affects the whole body. Everybody. We see that. We see that in the Israelites at the Battle of Ai. Chapter 7. I go into more detail next time, but what happens is the Israelites have gone through the crossing of the Jordan River. They're walking in the Spirit-filled life, sort of. Jesus is leading them in the Battle of Jericho as the captain of the host of the Lord. Host being Sabah. Means a person of mass, organized for war. So he came with an army, is what he did. If we want to experience this Spirit-filled life to the utmost, I believe there's three elements that directly deal with us. The first one is submission to God. We must submit. Joshua, checking out Jericho ahead of time, like any good leader, had to submit to the Lord Jesus in front of him. When he recognized that this is my captain, the captain of the Lord's army, and I submit to him, it says he laid right down on the ground. When the Holy Spirit appears to us and speaks to us, we have to bow down to the ground and submit to that. That's tough sometimes because we have what we call our own will. And it wants to do what it wants to do. And we have to submit and push that aside and say, like Joshua did, "What do you want your servant to do, Lord?" The next thing we have to do is we have to wait. I hate using people, but Joanna's example was perfect. How long she waited, her and Jeff, for the Lord to fight those battles for her and for Jeff. The Israelites had to wait. They had to march around the city 6 days in a row, just one time, march around the city, go back to your camp. Lord, what's that going to do? Never mind. Obey. But we say, nothing's happening, Lord. The wall's just getting higher and higher. The Lord says, wait. You've got 4 more days to go. When we finally realize that there's nothing we can do, then the Lord says, sound the trumpet and shout, and the walls fall flat. I was reading that this morning before I came to church, and Revelation came to mind. What happens in the end time when Christ comes back again? Sounding of the trumpet, he'll come back with a shout. Wow, really? Just like Jericho. The next thing we have to do is believe. Believe in the Lord. Believe he will do what he said he'll do. Believe he can do what he says he'll do. As we submit to God, and while we're waiting for him, we don't wait wringing our hands in anxiety, pacing back and forth nervously. In Psalm 47, it says we're supposed to clap them in expectancy because we know he's going to do what he said he'll do. Doesn't matter when it happens. Yes, Lord, thank you. I know it's going to happen. I have peace in that now. And in the Lord's timing, and when he tells me to shout and to blow the trumpet, then I do it, and those walls will fall down flat. That's the beginning of living in the Spirit-filled life. The promised land. Milk and honey to drink and eat all day long. There will be setbacks, yes. Disappointments? Yes. Failures? Yes. But next time, we'll see when they come, these disappointments, these failures, these setbacks, how we should deal with them. That's not for today. Today we remember to submit to God's will, to wait on the Lord's timing, and believe he will do what he promised. Amen. I need someone to close us in prayer. Would you?